ready?
If you didn't know, for the last 15 years, we have been airing a television show here in Savannah Hilton Head called Eat It and Like It with Jesse Blanco. It is a Emmy-nominated show. Very honored to be able to share that. That was a long time ago. But it's the only television show dedicated to the food scene here. And I share that off the top because last week, at the end of the episode, I usually share what I have been eating and liking lately with my audience. This week, I decided to scrap that because all I've been eating is burgers lately. But I took a couple of minutes to share with the audience the fact that I've been hearing from here, there, and everywhere over the summer that business is off this summer here in Savannah, Hilton Head, Beaufort, and everywhere in between. Anytime I ask someone, hey, how's your summer? I get these looks, or I get fine, or I get, man, it's crazy. I get kind of, I don't want to use the word fear, but I get, what's the word? Not concern. I get angst is a little bit of what I'm getting from the folks out there who are running restaurants day to day. So with all of that as an introduction, I am joined once again by our dear friend, Ray Robertson. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You are a Savannah chef. We met a couple of weeks ago. Well, you and I have known each other, but you were introduced to our audience a couple of weeks ago because you've been in this town most of your life, right?
Yep. Most of my life.
Chefing for 10 years.
Six and a half, yeah.
Six, okay. Well, soon be 10.
Soon to be 10,
yes. The Price is Right, we'd wind it up.
Round it up.
Round it up to 10. But you and I were talking the other day about, hey, I'm hearing this, what are you hearing? And you've heard the same. And so we thought we would discuss kind of the ins and outs of what's happening right now in Savannah's food scene. Well, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
What was that, about a 5-minute introduction? Sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah, it's fine. You got to get it all in.
You have a good weekend? What you been up to?
Yeah, I did. You know, nothing. Kids going back to school. Everybody, you know, kind of getting back in their own routine.
How many kids you have?
Four.
Four?
Yes.
That's a lot of back schools.
Yes.
It's quiet in your house now.
It is very quiet. It is very quiet. It's kind of my favorite relax time between, 7:30 and 2:30, but.
Wow. How far apart in ages?
So my oldest is a freshman and my youngest is in third grade.
Okay. So you've got the most noisy.
Yes.
Because it's in high school where they get introverted. Mm-hmm. At least mine did.
Yep.
And she, yeah. So, yeah, they are the most noisy. The TV's always on.
Uh-huh. Always.
Yes.
Even at 2 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Like, can't go back to sleep, so you just turn the TV on.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, congratulations on getting your life back a little bit.
Thank you.
But we're talking about, I called you the other day and said, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Are you hearing anything different? Let's start with that. I'm using the word wonky. It's what I shared with my TV audience the other day. After the 4th of July, which was a weekend this year, the 4th was a Friday, everybody I've spoken to has said, man, beginning that Monday, the 7th, it dried up to the point where we were like, where is everybody? Have you heard something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone that I've talked to or just people walking around, you're absolutely right. After July 4th, it kind of tanked. The city got slower. Everybody was kind of excited to see the rush of people coming out for the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And then everybody is kind of looking around going, what happened? Where did everybody go?
It's bizarre when you can't predict it.
Absolutely. I mean, Savannah's not always the fastest, right? Like, right. Or the busiest, I should say, during the summer months, right. Especially, from like August to September because it's so hot, mm-hmm. in the city. Mm-hmm. But usually there's still a steady influx of people, The trolleys, yeah. are still busy,
yeah.
that type thing. But from what I've seen in the trolleys going by, it's very minimal compared to what it normally is.
The trolleys are... I don't know if they know this or not. I'm sure they know it because it's their business model. The trolleys are the visual temperature gauge. For those, I live downtown. You spend a lot of your time downtown. When you see the trolleys going by at a peak time and there are 10 people on, it's like, okay, it's a soft weekend. It's going to be easy to walk into a restaurant tonight.
Yeah, you can gauge it. Absolutely. Right.
You totally can. And in fact, for my Eat It Florida podcast that we do every week, you can find it on Spotify and Apple Pods, shameless plug. I was chatting with a young lady in St. Augustine who said the same thing. I asked her, I go, how's your summer? She goes, well, you know, the trolleys are doing okay. I'm like, oh, you guys gauge by the trolleys too? And she said, yeah, that's how we do it. I said, yep, that's what I do here downtown Savannah. But I've noticed on the weekends, the trolleys are more than half full. They're not people hanging off the sides like you see sometimes. But on a Wednesday, it's like, ooh. And it was still summer when I was noticing this.
Yep.
Which then ties into what I said I've been hearing from the chefs. Have you spoken to any chefs who have told you their numbers are down?
Yeah. There's a few that I've spoken to that they've had to, you know, peel and curb, so to speak, with certain things, just because the numbers aren't there. There's, you know, not people in the seats to fill, you know, so it's been a little bit harder than it normally is for them. But I've also heard it from purveyors too, certain purveyors that are trying to still lock down accounts or, you know, maintaining accounts in this area. It's been very hard for, you know, chefs to meet their maximum numbers because, you know, they're still holding on to product from, you know, a couple of days ago. There's just, they're not blowing through it like they normally do.
How does that affect the running of a restaurant? You know, I laugh when people tell me, oh, all these restaurants are, you know, printing money, and no, you're not. I say it on TV all the time, and whenever I get the opportunity, the margins are tight. So when you don't, you guys budget year to year like anybody else.
Yep.
When you are soft, how does that affect the restaurant as a whole?
Well, I mean, it definitely impacts the chefs and the staff. I would say not only does it affect the bottom line, but everyone in that restaurant is affected because you're not only not ordering the same amount of product, but then you have to factor in your wait staff. You have to start cutting hours. You have to start minimizing line cook hours. And maybe that looks like the sous chef comes in 2 hours early because you can't have your prep cooks there yet. So it's a lot of ebb and flow when you don't have, you know, those people in the seats to help out with that bottom line.
Do those types of things get the scheduling, I mean, get adjusted week to week?
Ideally, sometimes, especially in these, you know, the summer months.
Right.
That's what you want to do because you're going to need them, you know, as soon as revenue and everything picks back up.
Right.
So it's a fine line of like trying to keep your staff happy because they have bills to pay as well.
Right.
But you also have bills to pay as a restaurant.
Sure. Sure. And then I'm guessing that you get into a situation where you keep having to cut certain people and they get frustrated and leave.
Yep. All the time. You know, because especially at those, I don't like saying lower positions because they're not, but at the same time, they're not the salary positions.
Right.
So it's a little, those people count on those 40 hours a week. So when you have to dial back sometimes to only giving them 25 or maybe it is 40, but they're used to getting that little extra overtime, they're no longer collecting that overtime. So it gets very hard, especially when you have good staff.
Right.
To maintain those hours and keep those good staff on when you're not making that revenue.
We've been soft here. I've heard it here in Savannah. I've heard it in Hilton Head. I've heard it in Beaufort. We've been soft. Do you think, from what you've heard, we've been soft enough to where some places are cutting hours? I would guess no.
I don't think we're quite there yet.
Right.
But I think they have been dialing it back a little bit, just being mindful about who's on when they bring everybody in, how soon they're trying to get everybody out. They are being very mindful, but I don't think we're quite there to where we're having to dock hours as much as normally.
Yeah. I not knowing the inner workings of the business, that would be kind of what my guess would be. It's kind of a, okay, we're watching this. Mm-hmm. And if it continues like this, we're going to have to start making some uncomfortable decisions.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know, I don't know how closely you pay attention to the news, but, you know, it's not just here. We were talking about it before we started rolling here. The pictures and video that we're seeing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a ghost town. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. It's 145 degrees in Vegas. You used to live in Phoenix, so you know all about that dry heat.
Yep. It's like opening an oven.
Right. But I've been to Vegas in July and August numbers of times. The last time, no, not the last time. 2 times ago in Vegas, we spent 5 days in July for my nephew's 21st birthday, and it was hotter than Hades. And actually, we got a thunderstorm that week. Yeah. It was like a tornado rolled through the swimming pool area at Caesar's Palace. And like, oh, my goodness, which rarely happens. I don't need to tell you. But the point being, it's always hot in Vegas in the summer, but it's not always deserted. Mm-hmm. You said you saw the stadium?
Yeah, I think it's Stadium Swim.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the one with all the big jumbotrons and all mm-hmm. the TVs playing all the games, yeah. You know, from hockey to football to baseball, no matter what it is, it's on a screen. And they were having cabana sales left and right, like just trying to get people in the doors to the point where they were including bottle service and and bottles with selling the cabana, which is unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. As expensive as those bottles are, I know from experience, you know, you start giving those away, that affects your bottom line eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a video just this morning. I've been reading about it because I did a little bit of research for our chat here now and how the numbers are off for Vegas dramatically. And then you see a piece of video of a guy walking down the strip yesterday saying there is literally nobody here. I mean, I was going to say it looks like 3 o'clock in the morning, but 3 o'clock in the morning in Vegas is like, you know, 5 o'clock here. But it was deserted. There was like nobody in this video, and I'm not going to go crazy and call it alarmist because we're seeing it in too many places. Mm-hmm. Everywhere is just soft.
Everywhere.
And you know, the 600-pound gorilla in the room is why, and we are not going to get into what we think why, but it is fair to say that everybody in this country is paying close attention to why. Mm-hmm. And everybody is kind of guarding their pocketbook.
100%.
Holding on to their wallet a little bit tighter because of uncertainty. And as a result, as it affects us and why we're here talking about it, we're on this side of it. Because it trickles down to me. If restaurants are doing poorly, trust me, my ad revenue does poorly. You know, it trickles down to me. That's just the way it works. So I see it. Sometimes I feel it. But it's I don't want to say a scary time. I don't want to be that guy. But it is something that everyone is dealing with now, whether or not the average person thinks these restaurateurs are just sitting back counting their millions on their yacht.
Yeah. I mean, that would be nice. I mean, I would love to be one of those restaurateurs, but I think even they are just watching anxiously. I mean, because we could sit here and speculate all day long that we think we know what it is, or regardless of what it is, it's still happening. So everybody is a little cautious about making those decisions and, you know, jumping out of the boat just yet when we don't know how rocky the seas are.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting some waves,
yeah.
But we're right now still trying to navigate what that looks like.
Different strokes for different folks, thresholds for pain and all of that stuff. It's, it varies person to person, but it is fair to say that, I mentioned it, like I said, now a few times on TV the other day. The restaurateurs are being cautious themselves because the consumer is being cautious. And that's not, I don't like the word scary because we're not here to, you know, make it sound like it's the end of the world. But it's an interesting time right now as compared to a couple of years ago. And I know you were here for it based on the places that you worked where there was a time where you were setting records almost all the time, correct?
All the time. Every outlet was full.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I heard I'll leave names of restaurants out of it, but I heard from a number of restaurateurs about 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, is 22, 23, post shutdown, people weren't traveling overseas as much. Everybody was driving in Savannah. We set a record for December 27th, all-time record for December 27th. And then like a week later, we broke the all-time record on January 2nd. I was hearing stuff like that from more than one source. So everybody had their, their wave, but now it's kind of a period of uncertainty. So what would you recommend? We're here to tell everybody to go out to eat as often as you can afford.
Absolutely.
What's your advice to people? I mean, obviously you're not here to spend other people's money, and it would be nice to say, go out and eat all the time. But Pete, I guess the question is, restaurants are feeling a pinch more than the average customer ever knows, right?
Yes. I also think that the customer needs to be a little gracious and a little bit of understanding when it comes to, like, when you're going out to eat and when you're sitting down and looking at that menu, like we've been talking about. Everybody is feeling the effects of whatever is happening. Just like you said, everybody's holding tight onto their wallet just to just a little bit more. And so with that as well, we have to take into account a lot of things when making menus. Like, I hear people right now being like, I went out to eat and, me and my husband spent $100 and, and unfortunately, I wish that wasn't the new norm, but right now it is with the way the market is. And like you said, not having those people in the seat as much as we used to, and people are choosing exactly where they want to eat. You have to be willing to pay that price, right now. And so that has an impact as well.
Our next chat here will be about the cost of food.
And that's to say too, it's not taking away from quality either, because right. I know a lot of foodies will see that the price doesn't, they get worried. Is it going to match what I want? Is it worth it? And, sometimes you just have to take that risk, because 9 times out of 10, it is worth it.
Yeah. 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 It's just a weird time right now.
Mm-hmm.
And man, have you been, you said you've been chefing 6.5 years.
Yep.
Have you been through anything like this?
So
COVID.
Yeah.
You were.
So I was there in the start of COVID, and then I had saliva gland cancer during COVID. So I had 2 major surgeries during COVID. But during that time, I was very connected with all the chefs and what they were going through. And I would say it's similar. Okay. There are similarities, but we are looking at it differently this go around. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I feel like with COVID, we were kind of like caught off guard and didn't really know how to adjust
it.
Yeah. And pivot. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, we're looking at everything and we're able to take a step back and, be more methodical with how we're dealing with this versus in the past.
Have you spoken to anyone about, in the fall, everything will pick up, or is there fear that it might not as much as it should?
I've heard mixed
from
both. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are very optimistic right now. So we all want to put our eggs sort of to speak in one basket, saying that fall will bring it back and we'll, feel a little bit more confident in where we stand. But at the same time, I've heard from other chefs that it's kind of like the wait and see game.
And it's hard when you underperform for a quarter. You don't ever, as far as I, as it affects my business, if you're soft Q3, you don't double Q4 and forget about Q3. It's a number you have to absorb going forward.
Correct. Yeah. You can't just write it off.
No.
I wish it was that easy, but you can't.
No, we'll make it all back and then some
at
the end of the year. And no, that's money you lose and you typically don't get it back. I will ask you what I do want to have a full conversation next time about costs, labor, and otherwise. Mm-hmm. But are you seeing the prices of product skyrocket? Skyrocket is a judgmental word. Are you seeing it creep up?
A little bit for certain things. You know, like I remember 2-3 years ago where getting a case full of eggs was astronomical.
Right.
Like if you were a breakfast spot, right, which is where I was working at the time, like half of my budget for mm-hmm. food went to yeah. dairy products, whether it was eggs, milk, or butter.
Right.
Those were just the high target items. And now those have dropped, you know, to a decent price.
Right.
But now you're seeing it in other products that, you know, it's all ebb and flow. Like I said, it's about picking and choosing, but it's still waves right now where some products are more expensive than others.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we learned, you know, 5 years ago now, you can't just raise your price on things based on, you know, what it costs you, because then you have to print all new menus.
Right. And even for me, working at the breakfast spot, like just because eggs went up didn't mean the price of my breakfast plate,
right,
you know, went right. up.
Right.
It was kind of something you had to absorb mm-hmm. and then figure out how to round that corner in a different way mm-hmm. to make back what you spent.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, well, I think it might have been a year and a half ago when we had the egg drama.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Waffle House. It was one of the...
Yep. Waffle House put the $2 egg surcharge on their menu.
Yeah.
And they just dropped it like a couple of months ago.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Was it $2?
I think... I want to say it was $2. I could be completely wrong.
I think I saw 50 cents per egg. I think. Whatever it was. Yeah, it had the little sticker.
Uh-huh.
Like, damn, man. 50 cents per egg is a lot. I think I'm going to stay home and scramble my own eggs. But I'm so legs. But scramble my own eggs. But that affects everything, and that affects everything that we're talking about here. You know, a surcharge on eggs at Waffle House makes people want to stay home.
Yep.
And not get on the trolley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et yeah. cetera. All right. Well, we will have that chat about labor and costs and all that stuff next time. But anywho, well, thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, always.
Next time we'll talk about labor. I'm looking forward to that, because labor and costs, because – would you agree? The average person just doesn't get it.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's the same thing with what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's all cyclical.
Yes.
Like we have, as the consumers, have to bolster the community in restaurants, but also the restaurants have to be open to what the consumer's feedback is. You know, it's all a cycle.
And how much fun it is.
So much fun. All so right, much
we'll,
fun.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.